How's everybody doing tonight? That's what I'm talking about. People ready and pumped. Dang, fresh. Who started school? Who's in school right now? Dang. People excited up in here to be in school. Okay, well, I do want to ask this. Okay, so I do want to find out who is going to RHS in here? I mean, RHS, Bulldogs, woo-woo. Who's going to Rev? This is the Rev section. Wildcats, get your head in the game. Okay, where's Colton High at? Yellow Jackets. Anybody from YHS, Ukaipa? Any Ukaipa here? Dang. Boo, boo. Go ride your horse home. No, I'm just kidding. What, ain't nobody from Ukaipa up in here? Oh, we got to change this. We got to change this. Pastor Joe, we got to change this. Where, Purdue? Any Purdueies in here? Come on. Don't be hating, okay? My sister went to San Bernardino. She did. She graduated. She was like head cheerleader or something like that. You didn't know that. I had a sister, huh? Now you know. And no one's half the battle. Where's Cajon? Cajon? Dang, rivalries. Brother, you in church. Sanji, where G at? Oh, come on. Alma mater here. Give me a break. I'm a Spartan for life. Where's Mercedes at? Because I did not hear Mercedes screaming. Thank you, Mercedes. You need to show brother some love, okay? Pacific? Dang, it's hard. Hard being in Pacific. Who else we got? Who else do we have? Who did I forget? I know, Arroyo. I'm just kidding. I would never forget Arroyo, even though Arroyo didn't exist when I was younger. Is Arroyo in the back? Arroyo? What? Who was this? King? Is that Riverside? Oh, I didn't know. No, I've never ever been to King before. Nobody's ever invited me to King. So in my book, you guys are gangster. All right, don't even talk to me. So anybody go to North? Dang. Anybody go to Sierra? How about? Would you say Loveland? That's another church. Oh, that's right, Citrus Valley. That's my bad. I did forget about Citrus Valley. Is anybody? Homeschool? Where homeschool at? Dang, there's a grip of homeschoolers up in here. Dang. Grand Terrace is not open. When is it going to open up next year? Grand Terrace is open. That school has been. They've been building that school for like decades. Who else did I forget? I know in Moreno Valley. Rialto the Knights. No schoolers. If y'all know schoolers, you need to get into school. Where's Trisk? Anybody ever go to Trisk? Yeah. You know what's up. Redlands. I think that's everybody. You guys are funny. So, you guys ready to get into Word tonight? Yeah. Matthew 13 chapter. Get there now. And let's go and pray. You guys ready to pray? If you're not ready to pray, I'm ready to pray. So we're going to pray. Let's pray. Ready, set. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the good day that we've given us, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the excitement, God, that you can place within us, Father, to run with the gospel. So God, today I pray, Lord God, that as people are beginning school, Lord, that you would give us a vision and a plan. Father, you'd give us a passion and a fire. God, that you would cause us, Lord God, to be people who are unabashedly, Father God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that tonight, Lord God, that you would cause your word to become alive within us. God, that everywhere we go, we can can be as a letter written by you to the people around us. Father, that we can be an example. Father, we can be a catalyst of change to those around us, Father God, whether they be our teachers, our parents, our friends, our enemies, God, even the strangers down the street, God, that, Lord, you would cause us to be, Father, you'd cause us to be ambassadors, people, Father God, who are carrying your goods to give to others. So, Lord, I pray, Father God, that tonight you would spark something on the inside of us, Lord God, that would change us from the inside to the outside. From the inside to where only we know, to the outside to where others can know and be saved. So, Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness, because, Father, were it not for your goodness, well, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. So, Father, we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, Father God. And everybody in this house said, amen. Amen. Cool, let's get into this. Tonight we're talking about holy crop. Crop. Because if there's one thing the Bible talks a lot about, especially the New Testament, it talks about crops. It talks about seeds and vineyards and planting and farming. Because back in the day, people would farm a lot. And Jesus liked to talk about the things that people knew about. And one of the things they knew about was farming. Now, not so much. I don't know. Does anybody have a farm in here? Okay. Oh, that's cute. It's gardens, maybe. I have a garden in the backyard, of course. Oh, your dad was a... No, all right, hook it up, brother. That's nice. I know some people, of course, we have a community garden right across the way. And I know some people, some of you guys actually have plots in the community garden. That's really cool. Do you have a community garden? Do you really? What are you growing?
I don't know.
You don't know. You need to get involved, girl. Green thumb. Make it so. Okay? So if you guys turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter, Jesus is talking about just that. He's talking about seeds. He's talking about planting. He's talking about trees. He's talking about fruits. He's talking about all these kind of things that are very agrarian, very agricultural, very farmer-ish, very crop-ish. So we're going to get into some of these things because, see, Jesus in Matthew 13 chapter begins to paint a picture. He tells a story, a parable, which is something natural that parallels, that has similarities to something spiritual. So Jesus takes this physical picture and says, this, just like it how it is physically, is just how it is spiritually. And it talks about you. You see, in your life, everybody's growing something inside of you. You know, the Bible talks about reaping and sowing. Well, it says what you sow, the seeds you put in your life, is the fruit that you get out of your life. Well, the things you give to other people is the things that oftentimes you get back at you. Some people would call it karma. The Bible calls it the principle of sowing and reaping. Because, well, karma is just a ripoff of God's idea of reaping and sowing, all right? So you don't need to talk about karma. You can talk about reaping and sowing. See, now, quick poll here real quick. Who went to camp? Let me see. Camp hands. What? Okay. Quick. Well, you sir, sorry, I'd like some Raider fans in here about ready to set something on fire, knock over. Anyway, let me ask you this. Okay, we have some people excited, went to camp. Very good. Very exciting. Wonderful. Now let me ask you this: who got baptized last week? Who got baptized? What? That's right. Who should have got baptized? No, just kidding. This Sunday, we'll dunk you. Watch the water turn black. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It's never happened before. Now let me ask you this. This is a bold question. I want, because I yelled at some people last week because they got saved, and I was like, you better. Bold question. Who rose their hand last week to give their heart to the Lord? Let me see. Anybody? Yeah. That's right. So have that ring. Very exciting. Looks like there's. I think there's like another 53 more that should have either be here. maybe they'll podcast it and hear this. What we're talking about? Because see, I want to talk about that. Because if you are right now excited about God, y'all need to listen. If you at one time in your life were excited about God, you need to listen. If you at any time in your life want to be excited about God, then you need to listen. Because in this parable, it talks about how you can take the thing that God's put in your heart, whether he put something in your heart at camp, whether he put something in your heart last week when you got saved or rededicated, or when he put something in your heart when you got baptized, or maybe when he put something in your heart when you woke up, opened your Bible, and was like, whoa, I can't believe that's in there and that's for me. Whenever God puts something inside of your heart, whenever God speaks to you, you can either do something with it or you can let it die. And it's your choice. You see, tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. Because every farm, every crop, every tree, every fruit all starts as a little tiny seed. And it started as a seed, but something happened to that seed to make it not a seed. I know, that's deep. That's like, I know, we're going philosophical, theological, we're going a level below here. But something happened to that seed. The conditions around that seed were made so that it did not stay a seed. It was not consumed, eaten, or destroyed, but something happened to that seed where the conditions were just right, so that seed grew into a plant, a tree, where it grew into a banana, it grew into something wonderful, and then people consumed it, and they took that seed that grew into a fruit and took the fruit seeds and put it in another fruit and another seed and all, and the wonderful circle of life, Hakuna Matata. And all that stuff happens because of the circumstances around that seed. And Jesus is talking about that in Matthew, the 13th chapter. See, if you went to camp and you want to keep the fire alive, if you got baptized and you want to make sure you don't go backwards to where you got to all of a sudden get redunked because you got all dirty again, that's not really how it works, but you know what I'm saying. You know, if you gave your heart to the Lord, or maybe you've gotten saved several times and you're thinking, gosh, I just don't want it to fail. I don't want to have to try this again. I don't want it to not work. Then you need to listen to tonight, because tonight's going to tell you how to make it work. Tonight's going to tell you how to get that seed that God's given you and turn it into something that's amazing, something that can change your life and the lives of the people around you. Because it's all determined by the circumstances around that seed. Because every seed has the potential to become a tree or whatever plants inside of it. Every seed has that. So if every seed has that and not every seed becomes that, it's not the seed's fault, because the seed is fine. It's the circumstances around the seed. And see, your life, your heart, are the circumstances around that seed. So Jesus begins to tell a story in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 1 through 9, and then we're going to skip and go 18 through 23. Jesus begins to, he says, on the same day Jesus went out of the house, the people came, they heard Jesus was at this house, and there's so many people begin to come that it began to get a little crazy up in there. It says, so Jesus went out of the house, sat by the sea, and the great multitudes were there, and they gathered towards him, so that he had to get into a boat and sit. See, so many people came that he just couldn't sit by the sea. He actually had to get off the ground into a boat so people wouldn't crush him. You know, that was one crazy beach trip. So, and the whole multitude stood there on the shore listening to Jesus yell and preach and teach them from that boat. So Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, or physical pictures of spiritual truths. He says, behold, a sower or a farmer went out to sow, plant some seeds. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured the seeds, them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, they were scorched. And because there was no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others, the fourth kind of seed, the fourth set of seeds, it says the others fell on good ground, and they actually yielded a crop. Some 100, some 60, some 30. So he who has an ear, let him hear. See, so Jesus tells this picture of this farmer, this sower sowing seeds, throwing them out. All the same seed, all coming from the same farmer. Only difference is the ground it fell on. And the ground it fell on determined what happened to that seed. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the farmer. He's the sower. And his word is the seed. And the different soils are me and you. It's our heart. Continue on in verse 18. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower, because the disciples said, Jesus, I don't get it. I don't get it. That story confuses me. Jesus, I don't know. What does it mean? So Jesus says, oh, okay, listen, guys, this is what it means. Break it down. Break it down. In verse 18, it says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower, who when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown into his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Oh, but he who received the seed in stony places, well, this is the person who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, when he yet he has no root inside himself, and he endures only for a while. Because when tribulation and persecution and hard times and homework arises because of the word, immediately he begins to stumble. Now, he who received the word, the seed among the thorns, is he who hears the word. Oh, he hears it. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Interesting. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. Interesting. Interesting. So which one are you? Which seed, excuse me, what's the seed, where is it, what seed is falling on you? What ground is the seed falling in your heart? Are you the wayside? Are you the stony places? Are you the thorny places? Or are you the good soil? Where are you at? Because everybody's at different places. And every day you need to check your heart. Every day you need to check your life. Every day you need to check your ears to see if you have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive. Every day you're in a different situation, different place. And you need to do a soil check to see where you stand. Because every day God's going to throw some seed into your life. Every day he's going to sow something. Every day God's going to try to place his word into you. And whether or not it produces anything is determined by the soil in your heart. Let's do this. I got a quick, does anybody like taking pop quizzes? I got a pop quiz for you today. Pop quiz! Oh, thought you should have. Don't you know you should have? Okay, let's go ahead and pass up a pop quiz. I got to, don't worry, this is, you're not going to get graded on this. This is a self-evaluation quiz. It's really easy. I have one up here too. Dun, 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 dun. Where'd it go? Can I get one? Lala Dizzle? Let me get one. Can I get one? Thank you, Lala Day. I have a little quiz here. Dun, 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 dun. There's three sections, three parts. Don't worry, I won't tell your parents. You don't have to turn this into the teacher. We will not be sending home progress reports to anybody. If you need a pen, too, they have pens as well. That's right. Just tell them, I need a pen, or you can share a pen with somebody else. So we're going to pass this out. And if you will, go ahead and fill out. We're going to go ahead and fill out the quiz at will. This is the what kind of dirt are you? How dirty is you be? What kind of dirt are you? Are you good dirt, bad dirt? Other dirt, dirty dirt. Don't be Joe Dirt, because that's weird. Section one. Now, of course, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 1 is never, ever, ever. 2 is sometimes. 3 is not really. 4 is usually. And 5 is always. Yes, you already have a question. I'm sorry. This is horrible.
My Bible, because it's on my phone.
Oh, okay. I will accept digital versions of the Bible.
Woo!
Extra points if you use New King James or English Standard Version.
Wait,
triple extra points if you read the Hebrew. What?
You forgot.
Wait. Okay, everybody pay attention real quick. Ariel never, ever, ever forgets her Bible. Except for today. Here, I will allow you to make the decision. Let that be a choice of integrity within your heart. It means, I will allow you to make that decision. That is between you and Jesus. You need a pen? Just cut yourself. Okay, Lolliday, this whole group needs pens. You can write underneath. Please write on here. If you're going to turn it in, tell me whether or not Lolliday gave you a pen or not. If you... Yes. Yes. Okay. What you will do is you will circle the one that represents how you, your life, and that one. So, do you talk during church service? Oh, I do sometimes, Pastor Richard. So I write too. And then, yeah. And then what you do when after each section, add up the total, and you put the total at the section total. There are three sections, huh? Well, we're gonna get into that. Don't worry, because we're gonna go over that. Okay. Section two. Do you get saved every week? That's a good one. That's more of a junior high question, because I'm junior high crazy. They don't get it. Do you still participate in worship during a new song you don't like? Do you read your Bible at home, school, places other than church? Do you ever try and memorize scripture? Do you skip over difficult Bible verses instead of asking someone what it means? Have you recently helped someone else? What's that? You didn't get one? I need two more. Salcido, I need a couple more quizzes over here. You what? You didn't guys get no quizzes? Lolliday. Lolliday. Fired, Lolliday. No, we love Lolliday. Are you embarrassed to talk to your friends about God? Have you skipped church? Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. There's one of those questions on there is wrong. There's a typo on that one. Let me see.
Hey, man.
I want to hear it says here, do you ever try to memorize scripture? What that should be is, do you hate trying to memorize scripture? That's a typo. Do you hate trying to memorize scripture? Excuse me. Yes, I apologize. It's my bad. I don't know. Well, you know, you could pop corn, but you can't pop goulash. What do you say? Who's done? Who's done? Who needs more time? Who needs more time? Now, remember, if you lie on this, you and Jesus, I'm going to tell you. Dun, 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 dun. Are you done? Cool. Did you add up all your scores? Simple math. No. Yeah, I know it's a bit confusing. That's okay, though. That's okay. This is why we at church don't usually write quizzes. Because we graduated at San Bernardino High School.
Some of the questions you should put never, but some of them you should put always. So if it's a bigger number, it's not always.
No. This makes perfect sense. No. Wait. No, this is okay. Look, here's what we're going to do. What you're going to have to do is trust me on this one. Because I'm going to give you the scores, and some of you may think, Pastor Richard, that's wrong. But it's okay, because you get what I'm trying to say, right? It's an imperfect example. Because Pastor Richard's not very good at writing quizzes. And then my staff is not very good at checking them. So I'm gonna blame this one on the interns. So everybody look at one of my interns. Where are my interns at? Cynthia back there. Look at Cynthia. Say Cynthia. Okay, that's good. So it's your fault, Cynthia.
No, no.
Oh my gosh, it's really bad.
No, look at my answers. They're good. Don't make that
face. I don't know. Here, I'll use you as an example then. Okay. This first one. I know, that's an internet joke. It is, it's an internet joke. So, all right. Hun, Pastor Michelle, what do you think? I'm saying it out loud. Okay, are you guys ready to score this? Now realize that Pastor Richard was not very good at math when he was in high school. But God still got a hold of my life. So here's what we're going to do is we are going to do this. Is if you guys have been doing 6 to 11, you are good soil. Good soil. Good soil. If you are 12 to 20, you are fairly fertile. That has nothing to do with babies. 21 to 30 means you are dry desert. No, you are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. Anyway. You're an abomination. You're the abomination of desolation in the book of Daniel. Take this back. Take this back.
I'm not sure.
Let me see this. You didn't even finish this one. Don't even tell me. Okay, everybody listen up. Y'all be quiet now. Y'all be quiet. Pastor Richard, they clear us all right now. Hush. This is a trouble section. This is why I like this section. You guys don't give me any problems. This section's always trouble. Especially you guys over here. Over here. You guys are my favorite section. You guys are my favorite section. You guys never give me trouble. Just Josh. You guys are the ones that are in trouble. Oh, man. Okay. Now, listen up. Hush. Now, obviously, there may be some mathematical error in here. Because there is a margin of error of plus or minus 5 points. That's what they do in polls, right? But anyway, you kind of get the point, though. So go ahead, check your heart and say, okay, what kind of soil am I? See, number one is questions about a person who has a soil that is like the wayside. Okay, if you answered, now take all the numbers out of it. Take the adding of the numbers out of it, whatever. Is if you answered negatively or unfavorably, mostly on number one, those are the characteristics, the negative characteristics of someone who has a wayside heart, someone whose heart's closed, someone who doesn't understand the word. Number two is the characteristics of a heart that is like the stony soil. Those are the characteristics of a stony soil heart. So if you answered negatively, regardless of what the numbers are, smart people. If you answered negatively, those are the characteristics, those are some of the negative characteristics of a stony heart. And the third one are some of the negative characteristics, or it could be some of the negative characteristics of a heart that is sown among, or a heart that has thorns on it, that is choked out by the world. So what this whole idea is whatever the numbers are, is for you to take a check and say, okay, does this represent me? Do any of these things represent me? Does my heart, maybe I don't have a thorny heart, but am I beginning to, or am I tempted with having, listen up, a thorny heart? Am I tempted with being a heart that's by the wayside? Am I tempted with a heart that might be stony? And if none of those, if you're all positive, you're hunky-dory, you're happy, you're super Christian, that's cool, then keep it up because you're doing the right thing and you will be having a heart that produces 30, 60, 100-fold. So go ahead and take a look at that and, you can just scratch out the numbers and say, Pastor Richard can't add because I can't, and that's okay. Yeah. At least I can preach, kind of. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to this. Now, what do you think of Pastor Richard? Okay, so I answered, I always do this, or I never do this when I really should have never, or really should have always be doing this. Maybe I answered something negatively when I really want to, or know I should have answered it positively, like I never bring my Bible, or maybe because I am late to church when I know I shouldn't be, or maybe you're thinking, maybe you answered negatively, maybe kind of like, I am embarrassed, or I don't help other people out, or I don't hang out, and I don't reach out to people who are different than me. Maybe you're some answers that you're not really happy with, or that you wish were different. Well, then let's identify that inside your heart and figure out what you need to do to fix it. Because real quick, every day we have a tendency to have our heart be like one or the other of those things. Because everybody in this room, regardless of who you are, how strong you are with God, we will be faced with having a heart that could be like one of those grounds. That could be like one of those three negative grounds. So we have to flip it and find out how to turn that negative ground into a fertile soil. Because you can, if you till and if you work the land, if you work it, then what you can do eventually is you can make it fertile. That you can grow and do certain things in different lands. Just look at Southern California. Southern California is a desert. I don't know if you realize it, but for the majority of it, it's a desert. But if it wasn't for the irrigation systems and the technology we had, we would not be able to grow anything. You drive by the freeway, everything's yellow this time of year. Yet still you have orange trees, you have gardens, crops, you have so much greenery. Why? Because the land was worked and you took a dry land and made it fertile. Oranges didn't even originate in America. Oranges are a European thing. But yet, California oranges, Redlands oranges, Florida oranges, all over the place. Why? Because somebody tilled the ground, because somebody took something and they made it fertile in a place. That's why you can go to the Middle East and in Egypt and different places, and you can see nothing. If you fly over these places, you can see nothing but brown and yellow. And then you see the weirdest thing in the world, especially if you've ever flown over like different parts of America. And you see, if you look out the airplane, circles of green. For miles and miles and miles. It's really weird. Or boxes. And you see nothing but brown and dust and desolation. And then all of a sudden, weird little circles or boxes of green. Because they took this dry, desolate land. They did something to it. and they made it fertile. Your heart, no matter how desolate, no matter how, you know, how discouraged, no matter how hurt or broken, no matter what your past has been like, if you will allow God to work the soil of your heart, then the seed that he put where maybe you were once on the wayside, or once you were stony, or once you were critical and judgmental, and once you were religious, all of a sudden, if you allow God to work your heart, then all of a sudden what can happen in your life is your life, your heart can become green and prosperous, and you can love God like you've never loved God before. If you hit a hard spot in your life right now where you were a 10 with God, and all of a sudden you start to get discouraged, and you're an 8 and a 6 and a 7 and a 9, and you go from a 9 to a 2 or a 7 to a 1, or maybe you go from an 8 to a 4, and all of a sudden your life is getting knocked down and it feels like your heart's getting harder and harder. All you need to do is stop and say, God, retill my soil, break up this garbage in my life, and cause me to be fertile again. It's all you need to do, because God can work with any kind of soil. You know, if you lean towards the wayside, you know, when a farmer would farm, had a piece of land, you know, outside on the edges where it was usually a trail. And sometimes they would go through the middle of it. You'd have this trail where the horses and the carts and the people would walk. And, you know, where they walk, I mean, if you've ever been on a hike, you can see where the beaten path is. I mean, you can tell where people usually walk because maybe there's tire tracks or there's a walking path. And the dirt underneath that walking path is always really hard. It's really, really hard because people walk on it and it compresses it. And it's so tight, it's so hard that the seeds can't penetrate it. You see, Jesus said here in Matthew 13, he said, the seed that falls by the wayside is trampled. He said, it doesn't take root because the people don't understand the word of God. And the word never gets inside of them. It bounces right off them. And you know what happens is, because it doesn't take root, it's not protected. And the birds come in, Satan comes in, the world comes in and steals it before it can even take root. It's ineffective, it's useless. Look, if your heart is like the wayside, then you don't care, you don't want to be here, you don't think it's important to you. And you know, the only way to cure a wayside heart is to open your ears. What did Jesus say? If you have ears to hear, you need to open them up right now because you're missing it. And look, if your parents force you to come here, you're missing it. Look, if you don't want to be here, I'm going to tell you this right now. Don't be that wayside heart. Because you are fair game for the devil to come and take every good thing that God has for you. You see, the funny thing is the seed is getting thrown on it. And the seed is good and the seed is great. But the dirt refuses to accept it. You see, God, if you're in this place and your life sucks and you don't want nothing to do with God, look, it's not a fact that God's not trying to get something to you. It's the fact that you've closed him out of everything good he has for you. You see, it's not God's fault because he's throwing it at you. It's not the farmer's fault because he's throwing the seed. It's the soil's fault for being so hard and rejecting towards God. If that's you, it's time that you open your ears. Because before you know it, if you do not open your ears, before you know it, time's going to be up and you're going to be in a tough spot with integrity problems, with relationship problems. You're going to be in, you may find yourself before you know it out of time. I had a friend when I was in high school, 16-year-old, had a heart attack at the beach and drowned. Who would have known? Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Now, I'm not saying that again about anybody in here. God forbid. But who knows? How long will your heart be hard? How many times does God have to tell you something and you keep on rejecting it? Or maybe you're the opposite and you love church and you love God, but you're so religious, you think you know everything. And nobody else does. That's the same heart. Because a religious person's heart so hard thinks they have nothing else to learn from God. And God can't penetrate that heart. Because they think they know too much. Because they think they got it all together. Because they think they're perfect. And that is a wayside heart. Just the flip side. So don't be the wayside. Open your ears and allow God to speak to your heart. If you try it, I will guarantee you it will work. See, stony ground is kind of funny too, because the stony ground is interesting because it had soil, but the soil was so thin, the topsoil was so thin, there was rocks underneath it. You know, back in the day, one of the worst things an army could do, it's the funniest thing in the world. One of the worst things an army could do to a nation they were invading was throw rocks in their farms. It was one of the worst things you could do was throw rocks on their farms. And that's what they would do. They would have people and they'd lob huge, massive boulders and stones all across their fields and their gardens and their places. Why? Because you cannot till and you cannot easily garden and grow stuff on a rocky ground. because your animals can't go over it, your plows can't go through it, it breaks everything. And the only way to do it was to get a bunch of people and pick those rocks up and throw them out. It takes forever. That's some of the worst kinds of ground to actually have to try to grow something in is rocky ground. Man, I'm saying digging holes in my backyard, Redlands. I hate Redlands for that same reason, man. It's so hard to dig a hole in my backyard because it's so rocky, it's so stony. All I want to do is dig a hole, fix it. All I want to do is fix my sprinklers. For the love of God, man. But the rocks prevent you from getting into it. See, in 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13, I want to read this real quick. Bible says, if you have it up there, and then we're going to get ready to close down. And then we'll finish this up next week. 19, there we go, 11 through 13. You know, God is trying to speak to this man named Elijah. And Elijah's looking everywhere else, except for where he needs to. He says, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. So here's Elijah waiting to hear from God. So this wind comes by and busts open the rocks. Next one says this. It says this, and it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, the fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And then after that fire, a still small voice. You see, Jesus said this, in the stony ground, they receive it with all joy. And then all of a sudden what happens is this, they receive it with all joy. And what happens is the sun comes and scorches it. The sun comes and scorches it. And because it didn't have a deep root, it falls away. You see, the stony ground is very emotional. And when the feelings go away, when the emotions are gone, they give up on God. You see, when trouble and tribulation comes and say, this is too difficult, I can't handle this. You see, this man Elijah was looking for God in the emotions. He was looking for God in the big flash. Sometimes we go to camp or we have the experience with God where people come to the altar and there's teenagers crying because they want to give their heart to God, but they never come back to church. It's funny, sometimes some of the most emotional people that come up to the altar are the ones I never, ever, ever see again. Why? Because they're basing their experience with God on goosebumps, on the way they feel during worship, because they're excited about God, and next thing you know, something happens, and they say, God isn't here, it didn't work, because they're all basing it on emotions and feelings. And you see, all of a sudden, these huge things, the earthquake came, and the fire came, and the rocks were breaking open. It's kind of like Armageddon or something all of a sudden. And he says, God was not in any of those things, but he was in the still, small voice. You see, when you feel farthest away from God, oftentimes is when you're closest to God, because you don't have none of this fleshly stuff bugging you, or imitating what God is trying to get to you. See, if you ever feel like you're far away from God, you need to keep on pressing in. You need to keep on going after it. See, if you find yourself with stony ground, then you need to get grounded. See, the deeper the roots of a plant, the hotter the sun it can resist. It's true. The deeper the roots of a plant, the longer the drought it can withstand. So if you find yourself emotional, you find yourself getting all worked up over things, if you find yourself missing God because of these things, then what you need to do is you need to begin to get deeper and grounded with God. You need to do the things you hate to do. If you find God farther from you, then you need to do the thing that you hate to do, the thing that you don't want to do. If you don't want to pray, then you need to pray. If you don't want to read your Bible, then you need to read your Bible. If you don't want to worship, then you need to start worshiping God. You need to do the thing you hate to do. And then the last thing is a thorny ground. Jesus said, Luke 16:13 said, no one can serve two masters. The thorny ground, it says this. Jesus said this in the parable. He said, the soil got put in the thorny ground. It came up, and then the thorns choked it out. The thorns are the desires, the wants of the world. If you are a person who's stuck in thorns, you need to focus, because no person can serve two masters. You cannot be a friend of the world and Jesus also. You cannot please man and God also. So if you find yourself as a person in the thorns, then you need to focus and say, okay, look, I got to cut something out of my life. And whatever is going to come and choke Jesus out of your life, you need to get rid of that. The thing that you put in front of God, that's a thorn. It's going to choke you out. See, you got choked out because the weeds took all the nutrients. So if you're over busy, if you're trying to please too many people at one time, then you're going to find yourself choked of any energy to give to God. Because you only have so much you to go around. And if you're too busy giving it to other people, other things, other activities, and you don't give it to God, you're going to find that God has given the leftovers and the nothing. So anyway, if you guys got anything out of God, let's give him praise.